Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
And we are back here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7, hanging out with you. We are over here at Neil Huffman's Accurate Oxmoor, where I have bought two straight cars, probably going to be a third some way somehow with Max. We'll see what happens there. But I got a big meeting with Arthur Galitsky afterwards here. We're going to discuss options.
Big meeting.
Yeah, big fancy meeting. Yeah.
Going to go walk the lot and the used lot and see what they got.
Probably get on, walk the lot, get online. What are you talking about?
Get online and see what they've got in here on the Neil Huffman line, family of dealers.
Absolutely.
Over there.
So we're going to do that here because a month from today, my son can go get his freaking extended permit or whatever the second stage. No.
What's an extended permit?
Well, I mean, like, so right now he has a permit. So, like, I can drive in the car with him, but I have to be, he has to be with a licensed driver. He can drive himself at 16 and a half, and I think can have one other non-family member in the car, but he doesn't need me at that point.
Gotcha.
But then I think maybe at 17, then all the restrictions are off. So it's somewhat restricted.
So he can have one other person in the car at 16 and a half.
I think that's the rule. But bottom line is he can drive himself.
Gotcha. You can drive himself.
I mean, back when we were, you know, and it was 30 days, and I could have as many people in the car as I wanted after 30 days. And I did. I remember going to football games with, like, eight people in a
six months for us. They changed the law, like, maybe 8-9 months before we were able to go do it. But, no, we had to wait the six. Yeah. But it was fine. And I understand the change. As a parent now, I appreciate the change.
So we should get some of the Pat Kelsey sound. So he was on John Rothstein's podcast, and this was recent, right?
This is May.
Okay, but this is not from a month ago.
No, this is from, like, he just released it.
Okay. Yes, yesterday.
Okay. He just released it yesterday. Okay. I don't know when he recorded it. It was from yesterday.
Okay. Well, I like the sort of the order here. Let me start with number three there on what it was like being, you know, recruited by Louisville, if we can play that one.
Well, you know, take us behind the curtain right now. You obviously played a really hard game against Alabama. And then, you know, after that, Louisville obviously showed some interest in you obviously being the head coach at Louisville. What was it like being courted by a program with such prestige and history?
Yeah, you know, I had been through, you know, job searches before in the interview process throughout the course of, geez, my 22 years at the Division I level. And you know, I give Josh Hurd, our athletic director, a ton of credit, you know, just as to how meticulous he was throughout the process, you know, with all the candidates, you know, that I know that he was interested in having conversations with. You know, Josh wasn't caught up in kind of how most searches are supposed to be done now. And, you know, he literally went into this, as he said publicly, he had nobody specifically in mind that you know that he was going after from the start. He wanted to have start from a base of zero and have conversations with a group of people that he has an interest in and kind of see how it goes. He had a certain set of like standards, I guess, in place as to what he wanted in a head coach. And, you know, Josh was extremely thorough. I had multiple conversations with him. And, you know, just the way it worked out, I'm a big believer that God has a plan. And I'm supposed to be sitting here with my feet on the ground in the 502, hopefully building a championship roster at one of the most tradition-rich programs in the country right now, and I'm very, very blessed to have done it.
So, I mean, I always like the respect that, you know, he has for the program. We'll go ahead and sort of follow up number four then, so he continues on from going to Charleston here to Louisville. We can comment after that.
Yeah, you know, we had a great run there. If I look back to my 12 years, going on 13, I guess, as a head coach, we had a great eight-year run at Winthrop and have great relationships there, raised my children there, loved our neighborhood, loved our church, loved the school our kids went to. And, you know, there's seasons to life and changes occur, transitions occur, and we had the opportunity to go to Charleston. And same exact thing. That city welcomed the Kelseys with open arms. And we had a great three-year run on the court, but just the relationships we made with the city, with the student body, with the alumni at the College of Charleston, the people within the athletic department led by Matt Roberts, who has become a great, great friend of mine, the other coaches, it was difficult to leave because, you know, it was just a special time and a special run. Matt gets it, you know, and I'll have a relationship with him for the rest of my life. You know, when the Louisville opportunity came up and I was offered the position, he walked in my office and just gave me a hug. And he goes, go. I'm going to kick you out the door and you run there. Because, you know, obviously he understands the caliber of opportunity that I have here.
It's amazing to me as I listen to him, how reverential he is, and how feels like he has more respect in history for the history and tradition than the guy who played here.
You know, like, isn't that amazing?
It really is. When, you know, kids are like, well, this program's broken and all this and that, where I don't feel like there was the genuine level of respect for the program that he has.
I know.
I want to stop trying to compare the two, but that's the only thought in my head as I'm listening to the reverential nature in which he's talking about that, going, the last guy didn't even talk about this when he freaking played here.
We'll all probably move on from the PTSD that we have from KP and now going into
post. PK. How about post-pain, traumatic?
I don't know. But it is definitely there. I mean, I understand it. I mean, I'm thinking the same thing you are as you're listening to that. And you know, like Kenny from the beginning was like, you know, it's broken. And Pat Kelsey's like, no, it's ready.
Ready.
We're ready to rock.
Great answer.
It's great to hear that he's got such a great relationship with the Charleston athletic director, because it probably means he's pretty easy to work with here with Josh Hurd, who's also,
seems to be what everybody from the marketing on down says.
Exactly. So I like hearing that. And you know, Charleston is one of those places, like, it's such a great place to live.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, you could understand to be a guy just waiting for the right opportunity. I would. If I was Pat Kelsey or now Chris Mack and I'm at Charleston and Georgia Tech comes calling and I think I can get better than Georgia Tech, I'm waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for the Louisville job, the Carolina job, because I'm in a good spot. I'm making good money and I'm in a great city. You know,
yeah.
Go and have fun and make good money and have a great life. And the Louisville job came open, and it makes total sense. I'm happy to have Pat Kelsey.
Yeah, and we can do number five there as well, just talking about, you know, being a rock star with the fan base. Because he is definitely that. I think it was five, right?
You know, my kids are finishing up school right now. We're in the process of trying to finalize and find a house, and the Kelseys are moving to the 502 to Louisville, and they're excited about doing it. You know, I've learned a ton. I already knew about the passion of basketball, John, in this state, you know, just because I grew up in Cincinnati and a stone's throw over the river. And this is one of the most knowledgeable, passionate basketball populations as there is in the country. But I've also learned a whole heck of a lot about horse racing as I went to my first Kentucky Derby and went in the morning at dawn and watched D. Wayne Lucas train his Derby horse, which was one of the coolest sports experience in my life. I've learned a ton about bourbon and the percentage of corn that needs to be in it to be a Kentucky bourbon, which, as they say, is the only type of bourbon. And, you know, so it's been a great experience becoming a Kentuckian. And it's such a neat community. People have so much pride in this town. And obviously, University of Louisville basketball is huge here. I can't get over, and I'm a humble dude. I just think I'm, you know, like Skip Prosser used to say, and I feel like I'm in this category, man. I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts and Harvey Sweat Socks and a caraway seed on the bagel of life. But when you walk around this town, whether you're getting gas, walking into a restaurant, in the grocery store, I just can't get over how important Louisville basketball is. And whether it's people coming up to me wanting selfies, high fives, autographs, telling me how they're excited I'm here, it's been an unbelievably welcoming time, and I appreciate this entire city.
That's just so nice.
This guy can talk.
Well, but he gets it. He's not just talking. He actually went and learned that, you know, it's got to be 51% corn, and that there is a difference, and that you do wear pink on Oaks Day, and
yes,
that he is – he's immersing himself into our culture and not trying to be, you know, Chris Maxon Thomas was a little too cool. Payne was a disaster. Every facet, yeah, any facet you want to pick. Now he's got to coach a game, but we got players. We have a guy that respects the program. How does it translate to, you know, attendance at like the first part of the season?
Oh,
where does that translate?
I'm gonna be there, Mark.
We know you're going.
I think a lot of people are gonna go because they're excited. They want to see the new realm of Louisville basketball. This is exciting. Now, I have utterly no idea what the results on the court are gonna be. Oh, okay. I like the makeup. I like the message. I like him. But and all that can work, but eventually you do have to win the games. But for game one, I think everybody will show up. I think it will be totally
Chase, what
full.
Do you think? I think you try to jump in there, it sounded like.
Yeah, I think most of the people that I know are a little bit heavier Louisville fans than maybe, you know, the average fan. So my circle is going to be there, but like, does that reflect the average fan? I'm not sure.
That's what I want to know. Yeah, I mean, the people that were, you know, that stayed away. You know, what is their mentality?
Yeah, I guess I just don't know a lot of just like middling fans. You know, I know some, but like most of the people that I interact with are like hardcore fans. Probably,
yes, but that's not the majority of the fans that are the 18 to 20,000 that you want to get.
But knowing the hardcore fans and knowing how disenchanted they were with Louisville basketball, mm-hmm, and how excited those people are today, it's got to reflect. Now, you still have to get 22,500 people into that building to sell it out.
Right.
That's a whole other conversation. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to be in the NCAA tournament. And I think that as the year goes on, I don't know what season tickets sales
look. No, that's what I'm saying. I want to know, like, from the start, is this enough from the start of the season to get this fan base?
Like, if you hire Rick Pitino, you're probably sold out of season tickets. You know, if you hire Jay Wright, you're probably sold out of season tickets.
Are you? I don't know. I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. Is this fan base? Like, I know they're far more back in, you know, than they were before. I get that.
But I think with Pat Kelsey, I think you're going to have a lot of people get excited, probably buy some single game tickets, and then probably some mini packages, and then probably re-up as things continue to go well, if they go well. Mm-hmm. And I think they will go well. Like, all the signals are there. The organization, the messaging, the want to, the will. Yeah. He's got a great roster. He, you know, all the stuff is in place.
Yeah, he's embracing everything.
Right.
Like,
so
that's the part that I think you definitely like the most.
The part with Kenny Payne was like, no, I don't need that. Don't need this. Don't need this. Well, no, we're going to need – I need you to do that, but not – but my job. Don't ask me to do my job. Yeah. That would be the worst. No, like – Pat Kelsey's out there, and he's taking the bull by the horns.
Yeah. Dex says everybody you talk to has plans going on that very first – everyone you talk to has plans on going to that very first Kelsey coach game and giving him all the support from the get-go. Dexter Mark, quote, I don't really know many peasants. That's not what I said. Dexter said Pat Kelsey gets it. Dexter says goes to show – U of L is a special town. People like Bob from New York don't just choose to spend 30 years here for nothing. Kelsey has totally flipped the program in 50 days. Is that all it's been?
I
guess that's right.
Probably, yeah. Around there. I mean, I guess he. I don't know exactly when he was hired, but it's been 50
yeah,
days
it's probably
since
about
April 1st.
Right. Yeah, post-traumatic pain disorder, PTPD. Yeah. PTKPSD. Yes. Texas says, grew up in the Ohio in the 80s, got a permanent 15 and a half full-blown license on your 16th birthday. You also were allowed to drive farm implements at 14, a pickup truck pulling a trailer counted as farm implements, so we took full advantage of that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mr. says, key point, you don't have to start paying insurance for a driver on a restricted license. Saves some money. Well, that's good to know. All right. Texter says, has Elvis had his jersey honored? I don't know. Has Elvis had that?
Elvis Dumerville? Yeah.
Okay.
He did. And I remember him being there because I'm pretty sure Tom Jackson was there that day.
Okay.
I can't remember the photos. I might be mixed, but I definitely remember. No, and Elvis did it when Elvis did it way back when Tom Jurich was the AD even. Because my photographic memory is going through our Crunch Zone photos, and from all William Caudill, who's done an amazing job on photography on the Crunch Zone over the years, that Elvis was there and Tom Jurich is in those photos for sure.
Okay,
so he's been honored for a while.
I thought so, but sometimes it's so long ago you just kind of forget, right?
A lot of times you have to wait for these guys to retire, but I'm like, I like what we did with Lamar. You know, like, Lamar's probably going to have a 15-year career. Like, are we going to really wait that long to honor the guy who won a Heisman Trophy here? No. So I'm glad we do it that way.
Yeah.
I'm glad we honored Russ Smith when we honored Russ Smith. You know, so there's a lot of really cool stuff that we've been doing. So it just kind of sucks. Like, if I see somebody out there that's, like, with a cane, I'm like, we should have done that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we should have done that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sorry, my allergies are like kicking up into high gear.
This is happening to me this morning with my.
This is my 2 week stretch, or 3 week stretch from Preakness to Belmont. That's where I am. Just if I can. And people that have allergies, I don't know if they have that feeling in your nose in the morning when you wake up, like, oh, I haven't had the Allegra yet. I got to get it, or this will be a disaster.
So I was having that with my skin. So my spring allergies, I get like almost feel like I've been bit by bugs. It's almost it's like a real allergic reaction almost. Like, where I know a lot of people are affected with their sinuses.
Ugh.
Mine's totally different. It's in my skin. So I just feel like creepy crawlies.
Ugh. It's worse. Sounds way worse. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with you, man.
Benadryl, you know, and maybe I'll see what happens.
Sheesh. It's funny to see the headline on where is it? On ESPN. Eagles Parker retires after 9 seasons. Like, Eagles Parker.
Eagles. Because did he sign with the Eagles or something?
I
don't remember. I don't know if he ever played down.
He didn't play down with them.
Yeah, it says after 9 seasons, Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Devontae Parker has decided to retire.
Wow.
So much as he looked forward to his time with the Eagles, he resolved to spend more time with his family, includes his four. He's got 4 kids. Wow.
Good for him. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And he's one of Louisville's own. He's one of those guys that we talk about start to finish.
I remember when he played at Ballard, people were like, you got to see this dude from Ballard. Like, he's a 3-star. Just wait. Just wait till you see him.
Put like 5 guys on him in the end zone, and he was still catching touchdowns.
You couldn't cover him. Uncoverable.
It was unbelievable.
No.
And I was like, if that guy's a 3-star, I need to see all these 4- and 5-star guys. And he is a great college receiver. Mm-hmm. I think he was okay in the pros. I think injuries really limited him, especially with his feet, you know, kind of in Miami a lot. But a good career, made a lot of money. I want to see what he
caught some touchdowns. He got caught 27 touchdowns in his career. So.
Right. A good player. I mean, you know, I just, you know, he's not what Lamar is.
Well, no. But yeah, I thought it was. But yeah, he was a guy that, you know, he would look up and he'd be catching like a big play. I mean, that would seem like he was always like a deep threat. So.
Career earnings for Devontae Parker. Let's see if I can find these. Career earnings, the career earnings tab, $54,135,000.
Wow.
So pretty solid. And, you know, I'm sure he's not done earning, you know, so he's going to go.
It's a lot of money for a guy who was, I mean, did he never made a Pro Bowl or anything, did he?
No. Not that I'm aware of. I mean, maybe he did.
So much money.
Let's see. Yeah, he earned $54 million. And now he'll qualify for the pension.
Oh,
so
yeah,
he's
long past that.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. 9 years of pension at $1,800 a month. Hang on one second.
Isn't it different the longer you play?
I think it's nine times 1,800.
Oh, that's what you get?
Yeah.
If you reach it?
Per month. So nine times 1,800. So he gets $16,200 a month for the rest of his life.
$194,000 a year if you're scoring at home.
Yeah. So he's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do they still have pensions? So all the money that they've got, I mean, it's just
it just rolls in, and, you know,
man,
I hate to say it, not a lot of these guys live that long. You know,
well,
Devontae lives a long time, obviously, you know, but football takes a toll.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong on that. If you want to get in, you got the UPS Jobs text line, 437-9680, as we're over here at Neil Huffman's Acura at Oxmoor, where, again, I bought two straight vehicles, thinking probably it's going to be another one for Max here in the fold here for too long, but like in the next month probably. So again, got a big meeting afterwards here. We'll go over
large
these
meetings.
Things.
Yes.
Big important meetings. Muckety mucks. So we'll have that as we go toward.
Max is going to get a tank. He's going to be rolling down. You know, it tops out at 35, Max.
Yeah.
But you can hit
but
whatever you want. It's not going to hurt anything. The insurance bill on it's going to be massive for what the damage that you're going to cause. But you're going to be safe. You will be safe.
Not true. Yeah. Because I'm more the one, I'd rather avoid the wreck than be focused on, you know, having a big car, you know, than winning the wreck. seems like people are trying to win the wreck. I'm trying to avoid it.
Yeah. You know? No, and with the sensors that they have on
modern
cars.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yes.
You know, they're checking the awareness of the driver. They're keeping you in the lane assist. They're letting you know, hey, this is around the time you need to turn. Or you're exceeding the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my car now, it'll tell me if I'm, like, more than 15 miles an hour of speed and be like, slow down, dude.
does it say exactly that? Slow down, dude.
It just beeps at you.
That would be great if it actually said, hey, dude, slow down. What's
but
your problem?
It's a setting. You know, it's a setting, and because sometimes the speed limit changes, and you don't know it.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you go from a 45 to a 35, and you're doing 51, and you're 16 over, you're going to get a ticket, and that's dangerous.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's those little safety features that they have on cars these days are great. And they have the ZDX now here at Acura. I think they have one here that you can test drive, the electric.
Oh, okay. All right.
SUV. I think it's about like an RDX,
mm-hmm.
but it's spruced up, you know.
Yeah.
And it's got 500 horsepower. Look at this thing.
Oh, that's, 500 that's
horsepower.
The one.
All electric.
It's not a big wheel like Nate likes to call yours.
No, man, they're nice.
All right, we come back. We'll go regular. I'll cue up some of the court sound yesterday because it's about 5 to 6 minutes, I think, of just
full-on
ridiculousness.
12,
yeah. Well, no, but I'm saying there's 5 to 6 minutes. I think it's good audio versus the terrible beginning that we're handing out papers and everything else. But I don't know. I think it's better than anything else we're going to talk about today.
I agree.
It was more interesting, so I should have had it queued up. So we'll do that here on the other side. We're, like I said, we're over here at Neil Huffman's Acura at Oxmoor and AcuraOxmoor.com is that website. If you need any work done on your roof, Carlin Roofing and Sheet Metal, that's who I tell you to turn to because that's who replaced my roof. That's who replaced your roof.
That's right.
Went to battle for you. Went toe-to-toe.
The
insurance company.
Toe-to-toe. They helped me out. And then they delivered the materials the day before, next day. Started the project. Day after, it was like a half day, done.
Boom.
And it was Derby Week. They're the only people working Derby Week in this town.
Yeah.
You know, and it was great. And my wife was happy, and that's all
that's what matters,
matters,
Mark. That's what matters
that's
right
all
there.
That matters.
There you go. So it's Carlin Roofing and Sheet Metal. Again, if you need just a few shingles, you need a full roof replacement like we have both had from Carlin Roofing, then give them a call. 458-9898, carlinroofs.com. That's CARLON roofs.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. We're in this together. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You gotta fight for your right to
one.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
And we're back here at Neil Huffman's Acura at Oxmoor, online at acuraoxmoor.com. And, again, you can find out all the great offers here they've got on financing. You've got the great selection now. You always have the 7-day like it or exchange it promise they've got here at Neil Huffman's Acura at Oxmoor. Again, they're back. Got the inventory back up, the MDX, the RDX, the TLX. We've got plenty of people that drive that Integra. The Integra looks great as well. If you haven't seen one of those in the last couple of years since they've been back on the market, they're awesome. I think my dad owned the first Integra in this town when it didn't even know what an Acura was when he showed up. Well, I'm like, what's that? That's awesome. So yeah, that's where we are over here today. So.
And I was just talking to Mike Stack. The ZDX, it's so new. It's not even. It's out there. It's not even in inventory yet. So it's that new that it's not even in, like, the computer system. But it's out there. It just hasn't been stocked yet. But that's, you know, it's kind of like that Integra you're just talking about. It's so new, you know, people probably don't even know. But, you know, it's a cool car, and Acura is always at the front edge of all the technology that you have out there. My wife loved the MDX. Yeah. She loved that thing.
So here we go. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. But this was – normally I don't think, like, court – like hearings are that interesting?
No.
But this was interesting to me. So you've got the county attorney, Mike O'Connell? Or let's see, he is Jefferson County. I want to get these titles right.
Yeah, I believe he's the county.
It says, in a rare appearance during an arraignment scheduling matter, county attorney Mike O'Connell was there. He was objecting to Steve Roman's trying to move it to 2 weeks for Scottie Scheffler.
Right.
Trying to move it basically 2 weeks. You've got Memorial Day next weekend. And, you know, ultimately you'll hear, you know, he wasn't consulted on his schedule, whatever. It doesn't sound like that big a deal. But here's the exchange. So, and again, Romine's the body language, you were so right. It's like me getting irritated with a caller.
Yeah, it was.
So, Chase, we'll try to crank it back there, see if we can hear it.
Yeah.
I'll play about a minute here. At the 2-minute-ish mark. Hang on. At about the 2:58 mark, and then I'll try to bounce forward a little bit. So this is sort of a summation, and then we'll get to the good part.
That is not widely known literally around the world. Okay? He's from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. He came up here to play in the PGA Championship. This incident occurred on Friday morning that gave rise to why we're standing in front of you here today. There's an arraignment scheduled tomorrow here. I think wherever I'm wrong, Mr. Romance can interrupt me. I think he left last night after the tournament concluded. He flies by private jet back to his home. Indeed, is it Fort Worth or Dallas? You know, which one?
Judge, if he needs to be here, I'll have him here. No, this is, again, I assisted in arraigning or getting him out and getting his bond set. I was not present when the arraignment date was set. As the court's aware, attorneys oftentimes are present when arraignments are set. That way, you know, calendars and that type thing can be coordinated. I was not. I'm asking, the arraignment date was given when the bond was posted. I'm asking to continue the arraignment to June 3rd.
And I'm responding.
With the same bond conditions.
And I'm responding to that.
Okay.
That motion.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so Roman's already irritated about the private jet because he's trying to make it, you know, I don't know what first of all, the initial argument is nobody knows him that well because he's just he's an unknown number one ranked player and golfer. I mean, that was sort of the – and I don't necessarily disagree that, if he walked outside before this week, that people would know automatically if they're not golf fans, it's Scottie Scheffler. He looks like every guy to member guest. I can grant you that argument.
Yeah.
The defense will stipulate he looks like a guy attending any member guest at any country club in America.
He does not look like John Daly or Tiger Woods.
Right. Both are far more recognizable than that. But it seems like, does he live in Dallas or Fort Worth? Look, if he needs to be here, I mean, this is me. This is me being into a
college. I love that. He doesn't answer. He's like, it doesn't matter where he lives.
Does he live in Dallas or Fort Worth? They're the same general area. Like, does that matter? Like, are you trying to make small talk here?
If he lives in Antarctica, I'll have him here, Judge.
Yeah.
Okay, does it matter?
So then this is when, you know, it gets to me even a little more interesting. That's what I'm going forward about 3 minutes here. Because, again, he's not saying I don't want him to be here. He's saying, like, look, they set this date. You know, I'd like to have it, you know,
yeah,
moved. So, and so here, hopefully the audio is good, though. So here's pick it back up.
Said he'd be here before the court to undergo an arraignment in your presence, and then let's pass the case and see where it goes from there and what occurs. I don't make this objection lightly. I make it very seriously. One of the tender orders, I don't know if that he's given you refers to local rule of the district court. I know of no local rule.
And so, by the way, this is when his pointer told me this. This is when the woman next to him, who's like assistant with him on this, says, actually, there is a local rule. So I didn't know that.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it's okay, Tony. But hang on.
Maybe I'm confused. I feel like he's just asking to move the arraignment, not to make his client
correct.
Not here. So is that you're
That's
just
correct,
asking
Judge. If
to move it?
We
not,
haven't resolved the case by June 3rd. He'll be here with me in court. That's.
So again, he's just asking to move the arraignment, not to waive his presence.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah, that's the order.
Well, and I object. I think we need to get the arraignment done, and then let's begin the process of trying to see when and if this matter could be resolved prior to the next court date, and not move the arraignment out, and then expect at the time of the arraignment, whatever is expected, that something is going to happen that's going to be a significant step or steps at that time. So this man should be treated like everyone else in this matter, okay?
I couldn't agree more.
Okay.
But the
Supreme Court has said when appropriate. So, Judge, if you believe that it is appropriate to grant this motion, I respect that. But that's the criteria. It's not just, well, we ask and it gets pushed out to whenever it gets pushed out. It's when it's appropriate.
How would the county be prejudiced in any way if we move? I'm not asking. So I've thought about this, and I'm going to require the defendant to be present unless somehow there is an agreement made before court, and then I will still rule on it. But I will rule upon whether or not at this point, if you're asking me if the defendant must be present, my answer is yes. Okay. I believe that the motion that Mr. Romines has on today is to move the arraignment. How will the county be prejudiced in any of its anything if the arraignment is moved?
Judge, I don't think it's a question of prejudice is not an issue. It's when appropriate. Is this defendant to be allowed to appear at some other distant date for whatever reason, or apparently his arraignment and something else, that may or may not occur on that day.
Got the body language. Just
I don't think
it.
That
he wants to hang up on him.
The when appropriate requirement that is required by our Kentucky Supreme Court.
Whenever I have set aside something as a summons or whenever I set arraignment dates, I usually ask if the person is represented by counsel, something that's convenient for their calendar. Additionally, if they don't even have counsel, I'll ask the defendant sitting in my jury box when is appropriate for them to come back. I'm not, so I pick an arraignment date, whatever's convenient for the court's calendar and the defendant and or an attorney if represented. So I do that every single person that comes before me. So I try to make it convenient for people's calendars if they have other things going on. So if you'll just make me aware of how it prejudices the county if I do grant, and again, my order as of this moment, unless brought before me again, and that's not what Mr. Romines is asking me.
Correct.
Mr. Romines is asking me to move the arraignment date, not waive his presence. So at this time, again, I am not waiving his presence. I am wondering why the county is objecting to his arraignment being on June 3rd rather than May 21st, if that's more convenient for Mr. Romine's calendar.
Okay. I simply think that is how the matter should be processed. It was set for this date. Mr. Sheffer, as we all know, was here for 6 days or however many days.
I don't know how
well,
long
he was here.
Sheffer.
He played in the court, Judge, and he left last night
and
returned home in Dallas. Okay. The standard is when appropriate, not whether we all agree about it, we all think it's a good idea,
It all sounds good. It's when and if it's appropriate. And respectfully, the Commonwealth does not think that this is appropriate
his hand
to do that.
30 seconds.
So we don't have an agreement, Judge, and I don't think we're required to show prejudice. It's when appropriate.
No, and Judge, this is an adversarial system. They're on one side, I'm on the other. I made the motion. They're objecting. He keeps referring to when appropriate, which is specifically referring to remote appearance. There's nothing about inappropriate regarding moving a court date. It happens every day. And so and Mr. O'Connell says, well, we don't want to treat him differently. Then go through and look how many cases are agreed to by continuance by the county every day. They are absolutely treating him differently, right? And they have no basis for it. He keeps referring to when appropriate. That is not, that language does not refer to motions to continue. It refers to remote appearance. And we're not asking for that, Judge.
I agree with that.
You can't handle it.
The words speak for themselves, Judge. It says when appropriate. Okay? Those are normal words used under circumstances, and it talks about remote.
Just dying to get him to court.
Availability.
Dying for the purple.
When appropriate. Mr. Omine thinks it's plenty appropriate that this be continued to another date rather than the date it was scheduled for. I disagree. So, Judge, you make the decision. We obviously respect the decision you make in this regard, and we'll follow whatever directions you issue, but we object.
Okay. Mr. Romans, was your calendar consulted at the time when the arraignment date was set?
He was not actually in court. The bond was set and he was released, and so they did not consult with me regarding that date.
Okay. So, again, let me be very clear, and I feel like you all still are arguing about different things, but, again, my ruling is, number one, his presence is not waived. He needs to be present at the court date. That is my decision, even if you all agree. It's still my decision whether or not he's here. If you all come to an agreement to waive his presence, I will rule upon that at a later time, and you can bring that in front of me. My understanding and what the written motion in front of me is only to move the arraignment date, not waive his presence.
Correct.
I feel that since Mr. Romine's calendar was not consulted, and he was already representing the defendant, that it would be appropriate to consult his calendar for the arraignment. So I will move the arraignment to June 3rd at 9 o'clock in the morning. And again, at this time, your client's presence
correct,
is not
Judge.
Waived.
That's understood.
Judge, okay. Thank you very much.
Romine's minus 10,000.
I know. Can you
minus 10,000.
Can you just play a little bit longer?
Okay.
Is it? Because
thank you. Of course.
Thank you.
May I be excused, Judge?
Of course.
Wait.
May I be excused?
Absolutely.
I don't want to excuse him.
You're certainly.
Romine's.
Have a great day, gentlemen.
Romine's asked to be excused, and then O'Connell asked to be excused.
I didn't listen to that first time.
It's like. Yes, you can be excused.
Oh, my God. There is no excuse for you. That's always, like, the line, right? Yeah.
This reminded me.
Normally never play, like, 8 minutes of, like, an arraignment. But it was just so, like, why are you dying to get this guy in tomorrow?
Right.
To you're doing it for one reason, to embarrass him.
Right.
That's the only reason.
That's the only reason.
I mean, the judge is like, I don't even know what you're arguing about here. I'm saying he's got to be here. I'm just saying that his calendar wasn't consulted. What are you so hell-bent on having him here? And the answer is he wants to embarrass him.
Yeah, because
that's the only answer.
The news cycle. He wants
ridiculous.
It in the news cycle. He wants it today. He wanted it today. And it reminded me, he's like, and the judge is like, he's not arguing for that. He's not arguing for whether or not he needs to be here.
I don't know how bad whoopings get rendered in arraignments, but that seems like, I know the betting line, if it was minus 3,000 with the minus 10,000 on rope, I mean, come on.
So it reminded
me of
a scene.
This is so unnecessary.
And Catch Me If You Can, okay?
Oh, boy. All right.
Leonardo DiCaprio, he passed the bar in Louisiana, but he is not really an attorney. He doesn't
right.
know the procedures of the court. And if you – I sent it to Chase, and this is the scene that this just whole thing reminded me of. It's
okay.
20 seconds.
Okay. All right.
That the defendant is, in fact, lying.
Mr. Connors, this is a preliminary hearing. There is no defendant. There is no jury. It's just me. Son, what in the hell is wrong with you?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
What are you talking about? Yeah. He said he's going to be here. Yeah. Can we please stop talking about
this? He would just like to have what,
a different day.
Which apparently happens, according to the judge and the attorney, all the time.
All the time.
I don't know that, but I heard it from the judge's mouth.
Welcome to your first day in court, county's attorney.
Oh,
my word.
The insistence upon that, it's totally just to embarrass him. I mean, it seems to me, and unnecessarily so.
Yes.
And, you know, you could tell he flew on his private jet back to is it Dallas or Fort Worth. I'll have him here if he needs to be here.
Right.
I mean, that was me with a bad caller. That's exactly what it was.
Exactly. So, to me, it was all grandstanding.
Yeah.
That's all it is political grandstanding. For what purpose? I have no idea. Maybe you want to get your name in the news cycle.
But I don't know, but forget, whatever.
But,
and not in a way that's going to portray you poorly, I don't think. I mean, that just seems
– right.
It seems unnecessarily – punitive is the wrong word – but just trying to do something that it sounds like a very minimalist procedure. It seems like a very minimal request.
Right. Yeah, no.
And you're having a battle over this.
Bump me 2 weeks so that I can accommodate my schedule here.
My rooting interest in it is I don't want to get there's no reason to make the city look bad. I understand that's not the job of the law to worry about public image. But this thing was a confluence of a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of people made mistakes. And this is not your typical – and, I had lawyers tell me that second-degree assault is anything that's like a – I can't remember the term, but an object that could be considered a deadly weapon if you're harmed by – or a deadly device, like a car, obviously, is that.
Okay.
You know, so he tore his pants in the car, so technically it's that. But that's – thank God we have a system in place that would differentiate that between somebody doing that and something where it looked like it was intentionally trying to hurt someone,
right?
With a car or something like that. But this just seems so ridiculous to fight that, and Roman's is just like, I'll have him here if he needs to be here.
It just all feels so unnecessary.
And yes, that's the word, unnecessary.
It makes me feel it makes me lose faith.
Yeah,
that seems right.
It doesn't seem like you're trying to serve the greater good,
right?
Or be a steward of the
makes
position.
Me lose faith.
It seems like you're trying to actually make it worse for
Scotty Scheffler,
and convert, and then by extension to me, City of Louisville. I mean, right. I don't get it,
right? So I don't get it. But you know what? If Scotty Scheffler had rolled in there and run over a cop, and he had intent and he was pissed off or something like that, I think I'd be on the side of Mr. O'Connell, but I'm not.
Texter says, I kept waiting for a judge. I strenuously object.
Yes, that's what he's arguing. And I object.
Yeah.
I object.
Yeah.
Well, now that I know what he's actually asking for, yeah. I object.
Yeah, Texter says, it's not Roman's being a superstar. It was O'Connell being a complete dumbass. I mean, whatever won, there was a mismatch. I know.
That's kind
of
like,
good Lord, can the state of Kentucky look any worse with the Scheffler situation? Who is the prosecutor? Bull from Night Court? Texter says prosecutor will have to change his vacation plans. She says, man, our DA sounds like a babbling idiot. He literally does not get the argument even after two people tried to explain it.
Well, it's like you say sometimes, Drew. It's like, it's not that we're that great. It's just that.
Man, the text line is just like, who is this prosecutor? Texter says the guy gets vetoed over and over. Someone needs to oust him. Texter says, I watched the 14-minute hearing with them. It seems pretty clear O'Connell wants to pursue the case and gain publicity for himself.
Yes.
Peak Louisville in the worst way possible.
Yep. I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. I would agree.
Says, talk about the Department of Redundancy Department. 8 minutes of repeating the same argument, but the same argument that is not what they're really arguing.
We couldn't get on the same page here. The judge is like, you're not arguing the same thing.
Thing.
Did y'all know this is recorded?
They're going to put it on Fox. It's a slow time right now. Sports radio. They'll probably play the whole damn thing.
In town. You're going to have to answer for this when you go to the Penn Dennis Club, Mr. O'Connell.
Yeah, wait. So the great part is Roman just knew to shut up and let the prosecutor hang himself. Oh, he was dying to jump in, though.
Oh,
if you see the body language, he's just like switching feet. And it's exactly what I'd be doing. It's like my exact body language is exactly what he'd be doing. Roman sounded like Al Pacino. I'm just getting started.
If you were an attorney, how often would you get held in contempt, do you think? Do you think you'd get held in contempt? Do you think you'd be able to hold it together?
I know when
heat of the moment.
I know when the others are in charge of the situation, and I'm not. I actually do. I also know when it's 50-50, and I'm good at those. Or if it's 51-49,
51-49.
Vice president versus traffic manager. Yeah, I'm good at those.
49?
Well, look, if it's whatever scale.
49.
Yeah, well, whatever. As long as it's over 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Good.
Minimal, yeah. Let's see. Trying to do a long one there. It says O'Connell, the Kenny Payne of the lawyer world. That's
I don't know him at all, but that was a bad 10 minutes.
I was watching that last night. Is this real? And normally I wouldn't click it. I was walking ship. I was like, all right, I got about 15 minutes here. I'm gonna watch to see how this goes. And I immediately sent it to Pointer, and then Pointer called me, and he's like, oh, man. He's like, I told you it was going to be bad.
Did he not read the order? Like, because he wasn't asking for the – player to not be there.
Ooh.
He was asking for it to be a different date, and he kept arguing for his attendance.
Well, he wasn't arguing for his attendance. He was just arguing to not move the date.
Well, I mean
that's what appropriate. Of course, the appropriate
when
thing,
appropriate.
As they point out in about the 3 minutes that I cut out, had to do, as he mentioned it once, with apparently being on remote, like being on Zoom rather than in person.
Right.
And again, not what he's arguing. Inappropriate. Talk about a vague term.
Yeah, when
appropriate. That's definitely up to the judge's discretion. And you're not winning it. We're over at this point.
No. After all that, no. Romine's did the right thing. He just laid out.
Laid out because he had to. He had his hand up for a good portion of it. Like, sure, can I jump in?
He was patient and waited for him to make his remarks. So
yeah.
Good for him. Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to look through the text line here. Texture says, Romines absolutely needs to get someone in the firm to carry a grouping of scorecards in the courtroom to keep scores they go through. like, all right, he got a birdie there, eagle, you know.
I love that, yeah. What was that yesterday? Was that an albatross?
Close to being an eagle. I don't know. Chase, I don't know. It's a legal briefing, but I don't know what you thought of me. Did you watch it, or was that the first time you'd heard it?
That's the first time I've heard it.
Yeah.
I really don't care either way.
Yeah.
It doesn't interest me at all. Like, and I don't really care about Scottie Scheffler very much either. That's probably why. But
I just think it seems unnecessary to do this, and it's just going to I guess number one issue is this going to be embarrassing for the city for doing something like this. And it's unnecessary.
And that
it feels
possible.
Very unnecessary.
And that would be the only thing that I would probably be able to interject in, honestly. I don't know anything about how those things usually go.
Yeah. I don't either. I just think this is one that it's just amazing to see just the silliness of it all, it seems like. Because I can't imagine she set aside 15 – they had to get everybody behind. And you set aside 15 minutes for something – like that, but maybe that's standard. I don't know. But
maybe it is. I don't know. I've not spent a lot of time in court at all, so I don't know all the procedures or anything like that. And, you know, I think O'Connell's probably been, you know, in his role for a really long time. I'm looking at Steve Romines, a University of Louisville Law School graduate, 1993.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been doing this a long time, and, you know, it just felt like felt like we were doing it for the first time there. It's like, it should have been a pretty straightforward deal, and I felt like we grinded away for 12 minutes unnecessarily. Yeah.
Yes. All right, we will continue along. We are here at Neil Upman's Acura at Oxmoor. Come on by here if you're in the market for a car. Again, they've got the inventory is all back up to obviously pre-pandemic levels, and they're going to take great care of you over here, like they have me in my last two car purchases. RGB, boy, the remote, the Control 4 remote.
Oh yeah, you're a fan.
It's just so nice to sit down, not have to look for your remote, not to worry about is something in the way of is it going to turn the picture on, but not quite get the right thing for the tuner and the speakers. I sit down, Mark, I hit that button there, Control 4. And as I'm, if I hear it on, like in the other room, and I've gone to bed, I can just pick up my phone and turn it off. I'm telling you, guys, odds are, I would say most people right now, don't you think most of the people's wives hate their remote system?
They probably do. They probably hate the multitude of remotes.
Probably think there's got to be a better way.
Right. And
well,
there is. Find them.
Like, you can't find them. I know. And Roku's are ruining everybody's lives. But Control 4, RGB has this. And this will make your marriage better. I don't know about a guaranteed promise here. It'll likely make your marriage better.
Yeah,
it's appropriate. it's a RGB red, green, blue. Ask him about the Control 4 remote. I'm telling you, it is just to look up. I don't know if I've even shown you the icons yet or not. Because it's like you look at it because we're not in the house because I haven't set it up probably to be outside. But I can turn it on if I change one setting on here. Turn on. I don't know why I'd want to turn the TV on if I'm not there, but I could do it. Or, you know, Max is like, hey, I don't know how to work the new system. Boom. But you know what? Max, we got it on his phone, too.
He's got it on his phone.
Yeah, you can
have multiple.
You can all have a remote.
Say no more.
Right. I even thought about that way.
Say no more.
You put the app on your phone. She puts it on hers. The kids have it.
Say no more.
So they're not asking, how do we do it? You push the button. Which button? The one. What do you want to watch? Disney. Push the Disney icon.
I love this.
And
you don't even have to buy batteries for your remotes anymore, either.
No. They'll come out. They actually have to program a remote. I don't even know where it is. It's probably on the charger where they put it. I'm not touching it. The whole point is to have it on the phone.
It's safe.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be in the backyard. I never want to have another remote. I want my phone to be the remote. Now you can. RGB, red, green, blue. Throw that remote into the trash. And tell them who's talking about it right here.